We'll start with attendance, and I see everyone is here and filled out the attendance sheet. Thank you very much. And both Youth and Governance, Mr. Cao.
Chow.
Chow. And Mr. Rothoff are both here. Thank you both for being here. We'll go ahead and move on to citizen comments. Any citizen comments? Seeing no movement, we'll move on to reports from the chair. I have none. Reports from committee members. East and West, all right. Moving on to communications. Michelle or Joe, anything?
No.
Nothing? All right. Moving to number six, approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against nay. Unanimous aye passes. Moving on to number seven in the big, giant budget of the year. Drum roll, Mr. Carnival. We'll go over the Corporation Council budget.
Here's what it looks like.
Good evening, supervisors.
You looked it already?
Yeah.
If you have your books, I believe my budget starts on page 311. If you're looking online, I believe it's page 315. I think all of you other than Supervisor Lewis have gone through this before, so you know that my budget is less than exciting. It tends to be a pretty status quo budget. Doesn't really change very much from year to year. For the 2022 budget year, you will note that the budget requested for the office is just over $11,000 more than the request for 2021. $500 of that is a request under my control, which is an additional $500 for books on the grounds that everything goes up in price every year. The other $10,500 was all, for lack of a better term, expenses beyond my control, personnel, insurance, etc. Numbers that I get directly from the finance department when putting together my budget. I would like to just note, because I have been through a couple of these meetings now, I did, in preparing the 2021 budget, so the budget for this year that we're just wrapping up, went through, did make a few, not huge, but cuts to some of the budget items that I've been requesting on the basis of having gone through the last couple of years to determine where perhaps we were getting more money than we were spending. So those changes were made a year ago. I didn't make any additional alterations for this year. The other thing, and again, I think everyone has heard this other than Supervisor Lewis at least once, but just because it sometimes is a question, if you look at the organizational chart for the office, it does list that we have 5.7 FTEs. We actually have six people in the office, 0.15 of the first assistant and 0.15 of Michelle's salary and benefits is charged to a different account because they liaise with our insurer and deal with the liability issues. So just, I could have Patty explain why, but to just know that we have six people even though we've got 5.7 FTEs. I would also like to take this opportunity to just introduce Mary Wiederholt, a relatively recent addition to our office. She joined the beginning of June. And I say that as well because if you look at the accounts for this year, you may note that salaries and temporary employees are a little different than they would be under ordinary circumstances, as well as the non-productive salaries. Non-productive salaries, I'm told, is the money that goes for PTO, ANS, leave, et cetera. So we did have a chunk of time when we were down one full-time employee in the office, and we did have a temporary employee for several months helping to fill that gap. So that just explains a couple of the perhaps slight differences than you would normally see in my budget. I think beyond that, I'm just prepared to take any questions that the committee might have about the budget proposal.
It's not a big deal, just a question. In the 2020 projected under the salaries overtime is going to be $750, but it looks like it went about double that. But then this year, you know, you dropped it down to $1,250 for 2021. Although I don't know what the current number is, it looks like you're going to hit that $1,250, and then you're projecting $1,250 for 2022. I'm not sure if overtime is just staff, is it particularly, I mean, that's not a lot.
Generally speaking, I don't anticipate that there's going to be any significant overtime in our office other than, frankly, staffing these kinds of evening meetings.
Okay.
Again, in this year in particular, and I think to a certain degree in 2020 as well, but certainly in 2021, Michelle was picking up a lot of extra hours when she was the only assistant in the office, making sure things got done. Again, I'm anticipating moving forward that it's going to go back to
most of
the overtime just being having to man these evening meetings.
Okay, so you're comfortable with that $1,250 number then?
I am. I mean, obviously, if I need to renew it review it next year and do something different, like, but I feel like for a couple of years that was a pretty solid number. I think we've had as everyone knows, we've had a couple of outlier years.
So. Sure. And that's what I know 2020 was, but I didn't know how that affected overtime and going forward.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Mr. Cardamone for explaining that 5.7 to me. I had a real issue with that. How do we get a 0.7 of a person? But I appreciate your candor in getting that out there and explaining that well. And I appreciate that you mentioning only $500 is within your control, and the rest of the money that is added to this year is due to salaries. So I can appreciate that as well. And there's no other questions, I'll move to approve.
And I'll second that.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. Any other discussion? Seeing East West, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against? All right, passes unanimously.
Thank you, Supervisor.
I do want to say one thing. I failed to acknowledge this. Welcome back, Michelle. After a long time away, Joe was pulling his hair out. So welcome back and congratulations on your third son.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to letter B of other matters. Is a discussion of classification of absences. I think when we're elected to the county board or any office, I think we have a responsibility to the to those that elected us and those and even those that didn't elect us in the rest of the county. And I've seen some discrepancies. I know we signed in today. There was an excused and an unexcused. But speaking with the clerk, they don't tally excused or unexcused. So I didn't know if we wanted to have a conversation on how we want to move forward, if we want to strike all, whether it's excused or unexcused, or if we want to put some sort of parameters around, if you're excused or unexcused. some of what brought it to light was situations where some of our peers may have been at fundraising events for partisan politics or at other governmental functions. I can understand governmental functions, higher levels, but if it's local elections, I think if we're going to have local governments, if we're going to have excused or unexcused, I kind of think that if you're attending something that you're not elected to and you have a meeting, your own elected meeting, that you should be attending your elected meeting and just chalk it up to having an unexcused. But that's just something that I've observed. I didn't know how others felt about it. I know the clerk has put an email out to other county boards or other clerks to find out how they handle absences in their counties for their county board. So, I mean, we'll bring it back in the future to talk about, what other counties are doing and see if it's any change or any, relevant updates. Supervisor Kubicki.
First of all, how are you going to police something like that? As far as someone's at a fundraiser or whatever those things you mentioned, number one, first off, we all, as elected officials of Kenosha County, have a duty to call in an absence. If you're not going to come to a meeting, somebody ought to be notified of that. So if they're not notified, not notifying anybody, then it's, that's what I would consider at that particular point, an unexcused absence. My definition, at Kabiki County Board of Supervisors. That's what I would say. We do have we have a responsibility to the taxpayer. And if you're not going to fulfill your responsibility by not showing up at meetings or what have you, well, then that's on you. And the people that put you in that office will take you out of that office at their will. They'll either keep you in as a person that doesn't want to go to meetings or what have you, or the way you vote or how you act or what you do. But I don't know how you're going to police the unexcused other than what I just said, where if someone doesn't call in to anybody of like the secretary or the chairman or the clerk or what have you, then it's considered unexcused, I would say, if we're putting this up for discussion. Sure. And I'll stop at this point and render further discussion if I see fit. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. Supervisor Lewis?
In my ignorance, is there some sort of a, I'm not trying to be flip, a demerit system or some punishment for, I mean, other than the voters?
As far as I know, right now, we don't even have any, you know, there's even, not even any rules as to excused or unexcused.
Well, then I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
Supervisor, are you done? Supervisor?
Yeah.
Supervisor Frederick?
My attitude and the way the Kenosha News has run it before, if you're present, you're present. If you're absent, you're absent. Doesn't matter if it's excused or not. You know, it makes you feel good that it's been excused, but they run attendance records in the paper and it says you were absent. It doesn't matter if you know what your excuse was. You know, so, and it makes you feel good, you know, you called in, but at the end of the day, you were absent and missed a meeting that you were supposed to be at. You know, could be sick, could have been whatever. That's the way the public will look at it. That's the way we should look at it.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Supervisor Maurer?
Well, just speaking as an employer, you know, and what the state views, you know, if you're an adult and you call in, who am I to question you? And I know that's the way that the state looks at it too. I mean, if an employee has called in, they've called in. So, you know, I mean, we're all adults here, so I let people make their own decisions. I mean, I agree with them, you know, we should all be here, and if the voters don't like the way that it, that they were absent, then they, you know, that comes down to election time.
Supervisor Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And kind of supporting what Supervisor Kabicki had brought up, I don't know if you want to call it excuse, not excuse, I think it's courtesy, it's a big boy, big girl thing to call in and say, I'm not going to make it to the meeting, if at all possible. That's what we would do as private employees. Otherwise, I know where I work, if you don't call in, you've terminated yourself for that day. Now, it doesn't mean you're no longer working there, but you're terminated for that day if you don't call in. This is a different situation. We're talking about people electing you to come up here, and if you don't do the job, if you're not going to be there, they'll unelect you. That's what happened to the first time I ran. Person I was running against, it missed 60-70% of the meetings over the 2 years. He had a daughter that was in basketball. Guess what night they played on? The night they had the town board meetings, and they're on, you know, travel basketball and all that. Well, he's being a good dad. He shouldn't have been on the town board at the time. So they voted him off and voted me on. I learned from that. You're at meetings, you're supposed to be at meetings, you go to the meetings. There's circumstances where you can't. I had one or two last year, and this year I think I even called in on one as well. But I just wanted to make sure the chair, I think I emailed it in so there was a record of it, couldn't be there. That's what we should be all striving to do. But I don't know that you can regulate it or do anything more calling it, just called in or didn't call in.
whether excused or not excused, you know, again, then you come back to the private industry and how they handle it. So I don't know that there's anything we can really do other than you miss enough meetings, somebody's going to run against you because you missed so many meetings. You don't care about the position, you know. There are extenuating circumstances, but for the most part, if you're missing the meetings, you shouldn't even be on the board. And I think anybody will run against you with that, you know, in mind. So I don't know if there's anything we really can or should have to do. I think, like Supervisor Lewis said, well, what's the difference at this point? You know, so.
Raise your hand.
Come on, no. Do it.
We got time.
You got to win.
All right. Any other discussion?
I don't know. Do we change the verbiage then to just present or not present? I mean, like, you know, because what's
possible?
Well, I guess going off of what Supervisor Kubicki said, you know, then if you're not here, you're unexcused, or you don't call, you don't notify anybody, you're unexcused. So. Yeah.
Maybe that's something that we look at, you know, even see what other counties are doing and kind of
with
a no call, no show type of thing, you know, maybe that is the only parameter.
Yeah, I think as elected officials, as I mentioned earlier, all of the reinstate the idea, you have a duty to call in one way or another. Yeah, there's a excruciating circumstances, you're involved in a motor vehicle accident, whatever it might be, I get it, but we can check that out, you know. But if you just don't call in, well, you know, how much do you really care about the position you're in? Do you really? So that's why I was saying about the unexcused and excused part. For further discussion, as we get more information from the 72 other counties, I think it's worth waiting and seeing what we get in.
Sure.
That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Did you still have something else, Supervisor Lewis?
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
The two people who do this, if someone doesn't call in, is what do you do?
Unexcused absence is the first thing marked in their file.
Yeah.
Nowadays it's tougher because find people.
Yes,
you kind of have to corrective counsel them to say, why are you not calling in?
Yep.
You know, what can we do so you'll call in if you're not going to be here? Calling, not telling us is worse than probably not being here.
Sure.
But when you're here, you know, we've got one just missed yesterday, is in today. If he was there 5 days a week, he'd be the best employee we have. But he'll miss a Monday here or miss a Monday there. My phone died out. Well, can we buy you a phone so that battery lasts longer? You know, what can we do to get you there?
Jump all over buying a phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Everything that he just said. And depending on the classification of the employee and how long they've been, you know, we can get worried too if somebody doesn't call in. I mean, we always try to call them, like, is everything okay?
Right.
But if it's just some, no, my car broke down or my grandma died. Well, how many grandmas do you have? You know, it's been four so far. But the way that the employment is right now, I mean, we just kind of roll with it because we're beggars can't be choosers right now.
And hopefully we become better companies and businesses and leaders and working with the employees. And this is completely off the subject, but hey, how can we help? How can we help that you want to be here? That's what we want. We want you to want to be here. How are we going to get to that point? And, you know, that's something, obviously not part of this discussion, but it is, it's a challenge now. It's a big challenge now. And I'm competing against her for people.
And I'm gotta bake. You gotta bake.
Yeah.
Anyways, what is that it on this?
Yeah. Supervisor Franco?
Yeah, I'd just like to mention a couple of things. Pretty obvious, but I think are important, and I don't know what the language rules say, but calling in before the meeting, not after, and saying, oh, by the way, I missed last week because X, Y, or Z, and calling in to the chair or the vice chair, not to another committee member, say, hey, can you tell so-and-so that I'm not going to be there, and there's a mistake, or the person forgets, it needs to be, you know, preferably within 24 hours at least. Obviously, people get in a car accident, you know, we understand incidents like that. But, I mean, if you're have to be somewhere, you don't even, I don't think you need to ask the reason, but at least call in before or email before the committee chair or the committee vice chair.
Supervisor.
And I will just say it's important, certainly in a sense that if we don't have a quorum, we don't have a meeting. And some of us drive farther than others to get to these meetings, and showing up without a quorum is irritating. So we can know that in advance and perhaps postpone the meeting without showing up to find out.
I really wouldn't like to just have present or absent. I would like there to be a thing where it's an excused absence. I think at least that shows the person is being responsible.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that, what's considered an unexcused besides a phone call, or besides not calling, or?
Well, not calling would be unexcused, but I would support an excused absence, and you could have all four categories. If they don't call, don't do anything, that's unexcused. Just my opinion. Where I worked, if you had a staff person that did that three times, they were written up, and it was probably a termination. But being a nurse, that's what you would do.
All right, so then moving on, we'll go ahead and close that out. If anybody wants to run upstairs, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Nordegan. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those against? All right. Unanimous. And we are adjourned.
Mark, we hit.